We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, the Gospel of Luke, and our text for this evening, chapter 13 and verse 7. Luke 13, verse 7. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? From time to time, one hears of horrible crimes and of some terrible disasters taking place. And it's natural to ask, why? Why, Lord? Why did this happen? Why did God allow it to take place? Sometimes there's a superficial answer given. These people must have deserved it. It was a judgment that came upon them. Surely God is just in all that he does, and God will not punish anyone needlessly. But here we find that something terrible happened at the beginning of Luke chapter 13. We read of certain people, Galileans, who came up to Jerusalem to worship. And they were offering their sacrifices at the temple when, for some reason, Pilate and his soldiers lashed out at them. And they were killed, and their blood, their own blood, was mingled with the blood of the sheep and the goats that they were offering in the temple. Jesus was told about these people, and he said, Do you think that these, Jesus asked his disciples, do you think that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans? That they were particularly wicked men, and that's why this happened to them? And Jesus says, No, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then he mentions 18 who happened to be standing near the Tower of Siloam. When it fell, there was a disaster. This big tower fell and 18 people were killed. Do you think that those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell were sinners above all the others who dwelt in Jerusalem? Was it because they were particularly wicked that the tower fell upon them? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So why did it happen? Well, one reason was as a warning. Disasters happen from time to time. Sometimes governments and soldiers are very cruel and they do wicked things, but that's a warning. Now, one point that must be said is that nobody dies who's innocent. The wages of sin is death. And in that sense, all of us deserve that our blood be mingled with our sacrifices. All of us deserve that the Tower of Siloam should fall upon us. We're all sinners, and we all deserve judgment. But sometimes God leaves the biggest sinners without something like that happening to them. Why? To give them an opportunity to repent. So it's not the biggest sinners who end up dying in disasters, necessarily. But God, in his great mercy, gives more time to big sinners to repent. Yes, and to little sinners too. It's God's mercy that We have another day in this world, a day of grace, a day when we can seek the Lord. But when we hear of a disaster, we're not to think, oh, well, these must have been terribly wicked people and that's why it happened to them. Rather, we are to think, God's giving us a warning. Something terrible happened to these poor folk. And they weren't any more deserving of it than we were. But we've got to repent. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And so we're to learn when we hear of accidents, when we hear of tragedies, when we hear of horrible crimes. All these things should teach us the uncertainty of life, the certainty of death, and the certainty of judgment. Are we ready to face our Maker? Then, from there, Jesus goes on to tell the parable of the fig tree in the vineyard. And again, this parable is a warning, and it's calling to you and me to repent. So the first thing we notice is that a fig tree was planted in a vineyard. Now the fig tree obviously represents you or me. The fig tree wasn't planted in a desert. Wasn't even planted in a big open meadow or field. It was planted in a vineyard or garden where it had special privileges and much care and attention bestowed upon it. And the Jews were like that, weren't they? God planted them in a vineyard. A vine from Egypt brought thou hast by thine outstretched hand. God brought them from Egypt, prepared a place for them. We were singing about that in Psalm 80. And planted them in the land of Canaan, in a land flowing with milk and honey, that they might bear much fruit for him. But sadly, they didn't. And so he broke down the hedge. He let the wild boar come in and devour the vine. It was broken and spoiled. The Jews. God bless them, but it's not just the Jews that are like the fig tree planted in the vineyard. You and I too. We have many privileges. We were born in a Christian country. We had access to the Bible. There were open churches for us. No doubt we had those who were a good example to us. There were those who taught us, who tried to teach us the things of God, who warned us, who encouraged us, who pointed us in the right direction. How blessed we were with Bibles, with churches, with teaching, with example. There are others in the world. We think of people growing up in India, perhaps. And they grow up in a family that are Hindus. And their parents and the people around them are worshipping idols, bowing down to idols of gold and of silver and of wood and of stone, worshipping elephants and monkeys and mountains and rocks and rivers, Hindus. What darkness! What a spiritual desert! Or you think of somebody born in Saudi Arabia, growing up amongst Muslims, worshipping Allah, hearing the call to prayer from the Quran, morning, noon, and night, taught the traditions and the laws of Islam, and hearing nothing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brought up in a country where the most serious followers of religion are fanatical, violent, and cruel, and show no love to their fellow man, and seem to delight in cutting off heads and slitting throats and bombing other people. Neither were you born in Russia or China or North Korea. Think of so many people born in China. And from childhood they're taught to worship the government, the party, to worship Xi Jinping, the president, to treasure his sayings, the sayings of Chairman Mao. The darkness of atheism and subservience to the Communist Party. But there you are, brought up with Christianity, taught in your home, taught in school, taught from friends around you, taught from neighbors the good things about God, possessing a Bible, having a good church which sets the gospel before you. You are a fig tree planted in a vineyard. And not just blessed with the privileges of Christian teaching and Christian example, but also with so many good things. Think of people in the world today, which perhaps what a third of the world's population suffering from poverty and hunger. So many people, they don't know where their next food is going to come from. Maybe hunting through garbage bins to get something to eat. Always starving, not a roof over their heads, being exploited by others, subjected to cruelty. And there you and I are, fig trees planted in God's vineyard, with plenty to eat, clothes to wear, wardrobes full, comfortable houses, all the good things that the Lord bestows upon us. Do you see it as coming from God? A fig tree planted in a vineyard. Well, next we see the owner comes looking for fruit. Why does one plant a fig tree? You plant it in order to get figs. You don't plant it for its wood, or for its leaves, its foliage, or its flowers. You plant it for its figs. I remember when I was ministering in Partick, I had an elder who planted a fig tree. He planted a fig tree in a pot beside his back door. I thought it was crazy. He's surely not going to be able to grow figs in this country. But amazingly, he was. He was able to grow figs and got a harvest of figs. That's the only reason why you would plant a fig tree, in order to get figs. So when God planted you in a vineyard, in a garden, he did it so that you would produce figs, so that you would produce fruit. That's why God planted the Jews in the land of Canaan, and he gave them prophets to teach them, and Moses to give them the law, and he gave them prophets, not just prophets, but priests to lead them in their worship. He gave them a temple and sacrifices. They had so many good things because he was looking for them to fear him, to love him, to obey him. And so it is with you. God is looking for repentance, the fruit of repentance, hatred for sin, love for righteousness, the fruit of faith. He's looking for good works. Whatsoever is done without faith is sin. So there's no good works, but in the sight of God, the only good works are the good works that are done for God's glory, trusting in God and done for Him with faith, faith in Jesus Christ. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, He spent 3 years amongst the Jews. These 3 years have I come looking for fruit. He comes looking for fruit from the Jews, and He comes looking for fruit from you. How many years has God been looking for fruit in your life? Are you living a God-pleasing life? A real Christian life? Or a selfish life, a life for this world, and your happiness, and your enjoyment, and your pleasure, doing what you want to do, and forgetting that there's a God. The owner comes looking for fruit. Next, we notice that he issues a command. Verse 7, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? This fig tree is a useless fig tree. It produces no fruit. For 3 years I've come expecting to get some fruit from it. And now God is pronouncing a sentence about the Jews. Cut them down. Cut down Judah and Jerusalem. Cut them down. 3 years I've come looking for fruit. And what have I found? Rebellion and unbelief and hypocrisy and pretense. There's another parable told by Jesus, the parable of the husbandmen. He tells of a certain man who planted a vineyard and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. Then at the time of harvest, he sent a servant to the husbandmen so that he would receive rent, fruit from the vineyard. But when they saw this servant, they beat him up and sent him away empty-handed. Then the owner of the vineyard sent someone else, and him they stoned. Someone else and him they wounded. One after another, he sent servants looking for rent, looking for fruit from the vineyard. And then finally, he sent his son. Surely, surely, surely they will respect and reverence my son. And the son came. And when those who were looking after the vineyard, the husbandmen saw the son coming, they said, come, here's the heir. Let's take him and kill him, and the vineyard will be ours. And so they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. So what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and he will punish those husbandmen. And he will put them to death and he will give the vineyard to others who will provide him with fruit, with rent. And so the Lord is looking for fruit from the fig tree. He doesn't want a useless tree in the vineyard. cut it down. And it's the same with you and me. God has placed us in such privileged surroundings, blessed us with so many blessings. He has been so good to us in temporal things and things of this world, good to us in spiritual things, giving us His Bible, His gospel, the preaching of the word, Christians and friends and neighbors and perhaps parents who are teaching us and instructed us. And He's looking for fruit. So what have you done with all that? Are you a useless tree in the vineyard? Cut it down and cast it into the fire. We've got to remember that one day Christ will come again. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 8 we're told that He will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's so vital that we should know God. Nothing more important than that, to know Him. Those who don't know Him, then He will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, being a Christian is really being in a relationship. Being in a relationship with God. Knowing Him. Loving Him. Being loved of Him. And if we are those who know and love the Lord Jesus, then when our life here is over, He will say, come ye blessed. I know you. You're mine. I'm yours. Come and dwell with me forever in heaven. But He will take vengeance, flaming fire. It's a picture of disaster of the worst kind. What can be more threatening than a huge fire? Flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Obedience is required to the gospel. You see, people might think, oh, well, it's really a matter of faith, not obedience. But faith itself is a command of God. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, and yes, and God commands you to believe in Jesus. So the gospel is a command, and you are commanded, I am commanded, to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. It's vital for us to know God. Do you want to know Him? Are you seeking to know Him? You are invited to know Him. And what a privilege it is to know God, to be in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And you are commanded to obey the gospel. And how vital it is to obey, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of our sins. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we're alive when Christ comes again, flaming fire. And if we die before He comes, if we do not know God, and if we do not trust in Jesus, then we will end up in the flaming fire of hell. We must remember that sin will be punished. And it's a sin not to bear fruit. Our duty is to be fruitful. Why did God make you? To glorify and enjoy yourself? No. God made you to glorify and enjoy Him. To know Him and serve Him and for Him to be the center of your life. cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? But next we notice a plea to spare the tree. The dresser of the vineyard says, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. God could have cut down the Jews immediately. They had rejected Christ, and immediately they had crucified him. But he doesn't do that. And he doesn't do it because of the intercession of Christ, the advocate, the mediator. Christ pleads, he pleads for the Jews. And so God spares them another year. Indeed, he spared them another 40 years. The long suffering of God. And during these 40 years, many Jews were converted. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. 5,000 men shortly afterwards. Many of the priests even were born again, converted. Sadly, the vast majority of the Jews rejected Christ, and they were unfruitful. And so, eventually, the Jewish nation was cut down and cast into the fire. God took the Gentiles and placed them in his garden instead. And it's the same, of course, with you and me. If we are not fruitful, God will cut us down. He can cut us down in many ways. Maybe an accident, some terrible tragedy befall us, some horrible illness come on us. How quickly our life here can come to an end. Others around you, you hear of them dying. And that's a warning to you. You hear of disasters from time to time. You hear of people killed in car accidents. These things are there as warnings to you and to me. But the vine dresser pleads, spare it this year, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Till I shall, as it were, give it more opportunities, give it another chance, more privileges, more encouragements, more gospel preaching, more witnessing, more words spoken, more good things happening. And the goodness of God is there to lead us to repentance. Sometimes people think, oh, well, I've got off with my sinful life up till now. I've got off with blaspheming God. I've got off with this immorality and this wickedness. It's okay. God doesn't bother. God won't matter. God won't punish me. How foolish. Peter warns against this. He says, the long suffering of God has been shown towards you. That's why you're still alive. That's why you're not roasting in hell. It's God's long suffering, God's patience with you, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he leaves you here so that you have the opportunity to repent and be converted. Let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it and fertilize it and give it further treatment. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. then thou shalt cut it down. If there's no fruit, cut down. Have you had your 3 years? Have you had your extra year? Is God saying, cut it down now? At some point, God's patience runs out, and then it's too late. Maybe you've had not just 3 years, but 30 years. Maybe God has been very gracious to you, time and time again. But don't delay. Don't take his patience for granted. One day, the patience will come to an end. That's why we find the words in Scripture, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He can't always be found, and he won't always be near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him if you return unto him. And he will abundantly pardon if you come asking for mercy. But don't delay. There's a challenge here, a word from the Lord to us. I remember an old minister whom I knew in my youth, telling me once about a situation in his own congregation. There was a man there who had been going to church for years, but didn't seem to be taking seriously the message of the gospel. There seemed to be no movement as far as he was concerned. And then, one day, the man fell and broke his leg. And this minister felt God leading him to go into that house and pray a prayer. And he prayed with the man, and he prayed, Lord, spare him another year. And if he does not repent, then cut him down. Thankfully, these words reached to him. And the man realized that God was warning him. And he turned and he sought the Lord, and he made his peace with God. Thank God for every day you have in this world. A day of grace, a day of opportunity, a day outside of hell. How thankful you should be for every day outside of hell. But remember, these days won't go on forever. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil day come. Before the day of judgment come. Before the day come when you will be cut down. Take to heart the words of Christ here. When you hear of tragedies, when you hear of disasters, remember what Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And remember the words spoken concerning the fig tree in the vineyard. If you don't bear fruit, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? It's a waste of space in my vineyard. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we thank thee for every warning thou dost give us. And we pray that we would take these things to heart. Do thou speak to us, O Lord. And do thou reach in to us with the message of the gospel. Keep us, Lord, from making our excuses and putting these things off. And may we take it to heart. Lord, we cry to thee that thou wouldst open hearts to thyself and change lives and work thy work of grace and salvation in the hearts of men and women. So bless us then each one, and help us all to bear fruit for thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen.